Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Taysom Hill is quarterbacking the Saints. There's no better way to root him on than with the Saints Happy Hour Crew to Taysom Cup. Become a Saints Happy Hour patron and you get one in your booze bundle welcome kit, along with four other amazing swag items. As a patron, you will also get full access to every Saints Happy Hour daily podcast covering everything Saints every day. Plus, you get access to our private Discord channel where you can talk Saints with other Saints Happy Hour patrons 24/7. Sign up for an annual subscription and save 5% off the monthly rate. What are you waiting for? Go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints Happy Cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. The Saints are 9-2, and they were gifted by the good Lord in heaven a preseason game in November. That was the most layup of layup games possible. But I have to say, Dave, it was weird watching that game and just knowing, like, four plays in, there was absolutely, positively no way the Saints were losing the game. I actually felt a little bit bad for the Denver guy that was quarterbacking. I felt bad for him once the Saints got up 17-0 and I knew that it was over with for 100%. It was weird, though, watching yesterday. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I mean, I listened to your immediate reaction podcast. I couldn't join because I was doing some other stuff with the family. But, you know, I thought you guys hit the nail on the head. I mean, the game ended and you're just sitting there on your couch and you're just like, what did I just watch? Like, what was that? It was just a fucking bizarre game. It was arguably one of the most bizarre games I've ever seen. I feel bad for the Broncos.
I know.
You know, yesterday. I know. Yeah. I get it. I know. It is what it is. Having learned about getting a $500,000 fine and getting a seventh-round draft pick taken from us for the locker room celebration when the rest of the league is doing it and the rest of the league is doing other things that go against COVID protocol.
Yeah, somebody did a Cariello collage on Twitter, and they had other teams' celebrations.
I saw that and I was in love with that, actually. I thought about making that my background, actually, for this live podcast. So it's hard for me to feel bad about the Broncos when, you know, the Saints have to deal with their own ridiculous bullshit. But it's just, you know, yesterday the Ravens-Steelers game was pushed back to Tuesday. Today, now, as we do this podcast, it's pushed back to Wednesday. Who knows? Maybe tomorrow by the time
you're listening to this, it'll be Thursday. But it's Wednesday at 3:30 in the afternoon because the NBC was like, oh, dude, we got to light the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center. We can't bump that for the NFL. So they're playing a fucking NFL game Wednesday at 3:30.
But did they get a new Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center? They're still going with that half-dead one.
I think it's the half-dead one.
That's missing like 50% of the branches.
The only thing that was more surprising than an NFL team having to play a game without having a quarterback was the fact that the Saints were involved in it, and it wasn't the Saints playing without a quarterback. Like, usually this
know.
Kind of stuff
know,
happens
Ralph,
to
you
the Saints.
To some of the Saints fans, they might argue otherwise. If you listen to how some of the Saints fans feel about Taysom Hill,
oh my God, we'll get...
I don't know that that's necessarily accurate.
Well, I just wanna. I was on my way to pointing out the discrepancy in the way they've handled, you know, the Saints Broncos game and the way they're handling the Ravens Steelers game. If I was a Denver Broncos fan, I would be crying at the top of the mountain, screaming, why did you make us play this game when you are going out of your fucking way to reschedule and then re-reschedule and then re-re-reschedule this Steelers-Ravens game when why are you making us play? And I think the only thing I can think of is that the Ravens, I think the Ravens have way more players.
They have like 22 players under COVID. With the Rona.
And so
the Broncos are exposed to one position group, and that's right. Kind of the thing.
And that's the problem is that you can still field a team if your four starting quarterback or your four quarterbacks are out, but you can't field a team if 20 of your 53 starting players are out. So the message that the NFL is now sending to the league is if you're going to fucking get COVID, you might as well go full board. You might as well fucking have all those guys cough on everybody else and sneeze on everybody else, because we're going to just go through with the game. If you're missing your running backs or you're missing your linebackers or you're missing one position group, fuck you. You're still playing. Oh, but you're missing half the team. Well, then we got to cancel it. It's a bad look. I think it's a very bad look. I think it sends a bad message, and you're punishing the teams that don't have a COVID situation as bad as some other teams that have it worse, and they're still getting to play. That game should be canceled. The Steelers-Ravens game should just be canceled. Those teams should not get their paychecks, and that's the end of the story. Suck it. Deal with it. But I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This game should not be fucking played. And what are they going to do next week? They're going to go from a game on Wednesday and then play again on Sunday? For crying out loud!
Actually, they're pushed to Monday, right?
But Kevin, to Dave's point, like, you're better off
Kevin,
being...
you're muted.
Kevin, are you muted, Kevin? But I was going to say, to Dave's point, you're better off being drenched in Rona, right?
Exactly.
But, Kevin, these rules at the NFL, it really seems like they're making – they have their quote-unquote memo, but it really does seem like they're making this shit up on the fly.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the NFL pulling shit out of their ass constantly,
Never. Making
things up as they go along, not having real plans to deal with things. I mean, this is not the Goodell-run sports league that I've come to know. I absolutely agree with Dave regarding the Steelers and the Ravens. Like, the game should just be, like, they just shouldn't play the game. They should just go to the end of the season with 15 games played, and that's the way it should
be. Well, they're petrified because it could the Ravens are like 6-4, so if the Ravens don't play a game, it could train wreck the back of the AFC. And I don't think the NFL, like, I don't think they can have 8.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Eight playoff teams in one conference and seven in another. So I think they either got to go 16-team Royal Rumble playoff for everybody or nobody. So I think they're just going to plow ahead and get these games.
What I want to know is if the Saints dancing in the locker room with no masks, if that's worthy of a seventh round pick, are the Ravens not going to pick till like 2025?
They shouldn't, dude. They should lose their entire – they should lose like an entire day of draft. like not the first round pick, but like maybe the entire Friday draft. But, Dave, as far as the actual game yesterday, it was – we say it was weird, but your boyfriend – and my starting running back in fantasy,
Ladavius
was a monster. He's been so good, Dave. He makes us forget how much we love Mark Ingram.
he looked a little Ingram-y yesterday for sure. I love to see it.
Right down to the fumble.
How about that sweet cutback though on that second touchdown? That was a thing of beauty. It's not surprising. I mean, since the beginning of the season, Ladavius has done nothing but take advantage of his opportunities. He's done well every time he's touched the football, and so it just stands to reason when you give him a little bit more touches. When you give him that little 5% more, that when you give him that old Juge 5%, he's gonna take advantage,
he's gonna do
more. So
he gets bendy.
It's good. It's good to know that the Saints are a team that can run when they need to run, when they have to run. That bodes well for later in the season, the playoffs potentially, if they have to play outside, if it's cold. And obviously, it also speaks highly of our offensive line that didn't even have starting left tackle and starting left guard. And they were still able to do a good job getting a good push and doing a good job blocking. And, now we're getting late in the season, and this is normally the time in seasons past where we've seen the injuries start piling up and the offensive line not doing so well and looking like garbage, and ends up being the downfall for this franchise every postseason. So I don't want to jinx it, but right now hopefully it's kind of looking like maybe we're going to be able to power through that.
Yeah, you know what? There's a section of Saints fans that are starting to get a little insufferable. And I feel like it's time for me to drop my annual, you need to enjoy yourselves because the Saints are 9-2 and they're in first place in the NFC. And you've been clamoring, half of you have been clamoring and complaining all year that Latavius Murray isn't getting the ball enough, that the Saints should be running on every play. I've been hearing that from you guys all season. And this, finally, this was your game.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now you're going to hear about it.
It happened. You actually got Latavius Murray running on every play, killing it, and then you complain about Taysom Hill. You guys, we can't make you happy. Taysom Hill has 4 rushing touchdowns in 2 games. The Saints are 2-0, and now we're back to air yards. What do you want? The Saints are 9-2. They're in first place in the NFC South. They're in first place in the NFC. They're about to win their division for the 4th straight year for the first time ever.
An entire presidential administration, the Saints are going
to
dominate the South.
If this is not making you happy, this is not the proper entertainment for you.
I will only say this. Yesterday, as I was following the game, after seeing Taysom's numbers and and how, like he was genuinely Brady-esque yesterday. He was Brady-esque. That week,
he didn't throw any interceptions. What are you talking about? He was like Brady. He didn't throw any.
Like
picks.
Brady this year?
This year?
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you and Ralph got it. Dave's looking at me stone faced, like one of those fucking faces on Easter Island.
I got a question for my old head Saints fan.
Hang on. My point was going to be the way Taysom was playing yesterday. That cannot continue. If the Saints are going to be in the playoffs, I would be terrified if Taysom plays like that in a playoff game.
Unless it's the Eagles, then maybe. I got a question though for my old time Saints fans in the chat room.
He put up 31 points though.
Is that the worst throwing performance by a Saints quarterback in a win we've ever seen?
Did Heath-Schuler ever win a game?
He must have.
He won one, right?
Yeah, he won one. Somebody look up.
That's a good question. Archie Manning played a long time for the Saints.
Yeah.
That's really gonna piss some people off.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Here we go.
Send all hate mail to Andrew Juge, courtesy of.
Terrible. Is there a game in the 80s, Ralph, that you can think of where they just ran every play?
I mean, they had some games where they ran George Rogers like 40 times, and they had games where they were alternating Kenny Stabler and Dave Wilson every play. So I mean, yeah, it's possible. Yeah. But Dave, we got Taysom. You're going to have Taysom, I think, for two more weeks, right? So put Izzy the future quarterback aside. I do think there's validity what Kevin's talking about in that they got Atlanta, who dump-trucked the Raiders yesterday for some odd reason. I don't understand how that fucking happened. That cost me money. Thanks, Atlanta. they had that. They got Atlanta, and then they got Philadelphia. Philadelphia, I'm watching them on Monday night. They are a train wreck. Carson Wentz is like the dollar store version of Taysom.
The wait is finally over. Football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff early. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
It is concerning, because in the NFC, Dave, you look at Green Bay, their schedule is a layup line besides Tennessee. Seattle, their schedule is a layup line besides the Rams. So the Saints, really, 13-3 is the minimum probably they need to go to get home field. And Kansas City looks like a Death Star. So to Kevin's point, Taysom, he's gotta be better than yesterday.
I'm not worried yet. I think... I saw Peyton's comments today. According to the game plan, Taysom played pretty well.
Come on. You're not buying that, are you?
I think that when they found out that Denver is playing with no quarterbacks, they're calling up a second-string Wake Forest undrafted rookie quarterback. I think undoubtedly the game plan changed significantly. That could be just on, usually Peyton takes responsibility for that. I got to get the play in on time. That's on me.
You're better than that.
I think the game plan was God, just don't turn it over. When you're facing a team that's in the situation that Denver is in, it is so easy to win. You just have to not shoot yourself in the foot. You just have to not make mistakes.
I think it's fine to say Taysom sucked. I don't understand what the problem is with that.
I don't think he sucks. I think he's inconsistent.
I didn't say he sucks. I said he sucked in that game.
Oh, sure. Well,
so I don't think he sucks at all. And in fact, he had moments in that game, and he's still, I mean, incredible running the football. And we saw him play well against Atlanta. So I think it's completely fine for me to say that he needs to stay as the starting quarterback. He's doing a good job. They're 2-0 with him. And he played really bad in that game. Like, all of those things can be true.
Yeah, no, that's true. And that's a good point. And I mean, he did suck. And there have been games where Drew Brees has played where I think we can say he sucked. And that's fine. But, you know, the thing with Taysom is, I'm not blowing anybody's mind here when I say that, but obviously it's his reads and pulling the trigger. You can see he looks a lot like Drew with his footwork. You know, when he drops back in the pocket, he looks a lot like Drew. He likes to keep his feet shuffling and moving, and he's very twitchy. You know, we talk about bendy. Taysom has this twitch to him. You know, he's very twitchy. But it seems to me like if the receiver is not open, he's not going to – it seems to me like Taysom is either doesn't have the ability or is too afraid – to make those throws that you have to make in the NFL, which is your receiver is not open at the time of the throw. You've got to throw him open. You know, just because he's covered now, and once that ball gets to him, if you trust that he's going to beat his guy and you throw it to the spot, you know, to where he's supposed to be, and you have that trust in your receiver, you have to trust that your receiver is going to get there. And I feel like he doesn't do that. He doesn't make those throws. The only time he's throwing the ball is when he sees the guy, and the guy is open at the time that he releases.
Maybe that's okay. Maybe the fact that you're 9-2 and that you have the number one defense in the NFL, and
that's right,
and that he runs the power sweep better than Cam Newton. Maybe that should be enough, you know?
I think,
like, maybe we should stop worrying about air yards and just be happy that the team is 9-2, and that should be good enough.
I don't get it. Are you telling me that there's people that are complaining about Taysom Hill's air yards? Taysom Hill can throw it over them fucking mountains over there, okay? I don't know who the fuck is worrying about Taysom Hill and air yards, okay?
I think it's more processing.
I'm not worried about air yards.
It's more like getting the ball out. Here's my question.
I got a question for Kevin. Who looked more terrified? Taysom worrying about throwing an interception yesterday, or me when we have audio problems with this podcast? Whose face looked more terrified yesterday?
You.
Yeah, Ralph.
You, easily.
Yes.
Easily.
I don't know, man. Taysom looked pretty terrified when he fucked up that screen pass to Kamara when he was going to the sideline.
Unfortunate.
But here's the question. And people in the chat room, by the way, they're throwing all these names about quarterbacks that were worse than Taysom yesterday in Saints wins. You people, Danny Werfel, 98 versus the Colts, get the fuck out of here with that. The Saints defense, Dave, is number fucking one in the NFL. We have been begging for a decade. You specifically have said, just hold a team to under...
Just be room temperature.
To under 27 points. That's
all we
need.
Do it, and they still couldn't do it while we had a peak Drew Brees. They had to fucking wait until Drew Brees... half of Drew Brees' fucking ribs are broken to fucking finally get their goddamn act together. So now here we are. We're about to start a 10-year period where the defense is fucking great and the offense can't do fucking shit. You fucking watch it. The tables have turned, and it's now going to be 10 years of fucking bizarro Saints. Unfucking believable. But no, I'm happy. Yeah. I mean, going back to the Taysom shit and the quarterback stuff, if you have a defense that's number one in the goddamn league, that's going to mask a lot of problems you have at the quarterback position.
It is unbelievable that all those years he went for 5,000 yards passing.
Fucking motherfucker.
And they had to wait to be number one defense in the entire freaking league when his rib cage is falling off. Yeah,
right.
When he can't even breathe because a lung doesn't work.
And he still led a fucking touchdown drive, didn't he?
Yes.
Well,
fucking hell.
Here's another good question. Before we get to the specifics of how the defense played, the defense is hard.
Hold on, Ralph. Hold on. I just want to hear you say that that's the Saintsiest thing ever.
It is the Saints. It is this. I mean, the Saintsiest thing ever is for Drew Brees to come back and the defense immediately suck again. Like he comes back. They're like, oh, how's he gonna play? He comes back, he throws for 450 and 4 against Kansas City, and they lose 56-55.
You know, it's like, it's weird you say that. It's weird you say that because the defense definitely played their best last year when, Teddy was the starter.
He was. I mean,
maybe they hate Drew.
And by the way, Dave, they played great yesterday on defense, but they were also peak, maybe the peak at the top of the mountain, peak of the peak, no catching motherfuckers yesterday. Like they could have,
and they still had, three turnovers. I mean, if they had caught those other two interceptions, I mean, they would have had like five turnovers, and it would have been even more of a blowout than it was. But yeah, I mean, what, Jenkins dropped one.
Lattimore
dropped one. Glad to have him back, obviously, but he dropped that one. It was right in his fucking hands.
I think instead of the crew to Taysom Cup, next year's swag item needs to be no catching motherfuckers.
Oh yeah.
Cup.
Lattimore went full Jabari Greer on that kick attempt.
Full Roman Harper.
Mm-hmm.
But the defense, it's hard to judge because Denver didn't have a quarterback. But Cam Jordan, Andrew, he's second straight week. He looked like the Cam Jordan we're used to seeing.
Yeah, it's really promising. The defensive line is kind of coming together. You like what Davenport's doing. Hendrickson's been great all year. Onyemata's been great all year. And now Cam Jordan's back to normal. So, you know, it's weird. And I don't know that it's necessarily an accident that this defense has played at its highest level the minute Quan Alexander walked through that door. And it's not that Quan Alexander is like the guy. It's not that he's the engine that makes the whole thing run. But I do think he's probably the one missing piece that, you know, it was like the last piece of that jigsaw puzzle that makes it all work together. And, you know, sometimes it's the sum of the pieces, not the individual pieces. And so I don't know. Ever since Quan Alexander was added to this defense. And look,
yeah. Or it's the subtraction of Anzalone, whatever.
But see, I don't think he was playing that bad. I don't think it's that so much. I just think just getting back to the 5% thing, Dave, I think they elevated their linebacking core by 5%, and that was enough to kind of put it all together. And so now you look at this unit, and there's no weaknesses. Their two linebackers run sideline to sideline. The coverage is there. The pass rush is there. You can't run on them. The defense is.
Would he have
it
been
looks awesome
if Quan Alexander, if he hadn't been tackled by the Broncos guy, would he have been the first LSU Tiger to score on defense for the Saints?
Ever?
No Tigers.
Yeah, ever.
Has Randall Gay never had a pick six?
No.
Oh, good.
I mean,
wait, Ralph, say that name again.
Well, wait,
Randall Gay?
No. Who was the guy that
Quan Alexander?
Quan Alexander?
Oh, okay. Because before it sounded like you said Kawan.
He definitely did.
So, Kevin, I know your time is limited with us tonight. Chat. Do
so
you,
Alan? If you think of an LSU guy that scored on defense for the Saints, hit us up in the chat.
Kevin, I know your time is limited with us. Do you have any predictions before you have to eject about the Falcons game Sunday?
Oh, God. What's the spread? Do we have the spread right
now? This is a Vegas special. It's Saints by 2.5.
Oh.
I mean, that just screams.
You know what? I'll take the Saints. I'll take the Saints and lay the points on that. I think the Falcons will keep it close-ish until the fourth quarter, and then it'll sort of open up. So I'll go Saints 30, Falcons 17.
Dude, Alan in the chat room, he said it's Ken Borderlawn 1979 versus the Raiders.
How does he looking this up? What kind of database does he have?
He's just gone to every Saints game since like 67.
By the way, the Saints were winning that game 35-7 and lost.
But I don't remember what happened in every game. You have to you have to actually remember stuff.
That's because we've only had one LSU player on defense. Since
What kind of fish oil supplements is Alan taking? I need to get on that ginkgo biloba shit or whatever the fuck.
Omega, lots of omega 3s.
Yeah, what the fuck? Jesus Christ, Rain Man, put you guys to fucking shame.
He does. He just pulled Ken Bordelon. I think Kevin, he's a Crusader. I think he's a Brother Martin Crusader too.
I was gonna say that's a New Orleans name right
there.
Yeah,
it is.
Oh yeah. Ken Bordelon, please report to Coach Dotrieve's office.
Ralph, don't you have some news to break?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah, break the news.
All right, so I have sources all over New Orleans, but this source is my mom, her air conditioner man.
Which company? I need to know which AC company this is.
I don't know. But anyway, Alvin Kamara, my mom told me, she said, hey, my air conditioner man said that Alvin Kamara got in an accident off West Mary, almost drove his car into the canal. So me and Andrew reached out to our sources and got it confirmed. Kamara's all right. He's fine. But he almost drove the car into the canal. Just so you know.
And that's on like what Esplanade or West Napoleon or something.
And West Metairie.
Yeah.
Right.
Off West Metairie,
and that's why you should be a patron and get access to this podcast every day. We break important news like that other places don't have, and you get swag like this.
Apparently, no alcohol was involved.
No alcohol, but just a little. Hey, man, it happens. New Orleans, we love you. We're from there, but New Orleans people drive for shit. Let's just be honest.
Maybe there was a female in the car. That was distracting him.
Yeah.
The parenthood paradox.
Yes.
So.
Wasn't it Bobby, who was the defensive end for the Saints back in years ago? Bobby
McRae?
Yeah, didn't he get arrested for DUI and he said something with a pizza? He said he was like... Yeah. I forget what it was.
He was like,
he blamed it on the pizza. He blamed it on something with the pizza.
He was sitting with the pizza box on his lap, and it opened and burned him or something.
Yeah.
Oh, right. He swerved off the road because
then they had old Joe Morgan who fell. He got arrested. He was sleeping in the car.
Joe Morgan pulled over. He pulled over on the interstate and just went to sleep.
He was on Earhart.
I didn't think he deserved to be arrested. I think he deserved to be given a medal. I mean, that's caring about other people. You realize I'm too drunk to drive, and you just pull over. You're like, I'm going to sleep it off. It's going to be fine. I mean.
You're kind of waving a white flag to the cops, though.
Yeah.
I mean. At least you didn't fall asleep at a light.
Like Tony La Russa? Tony La Russa, he has more DWIs than this podcast has audio problems. Off topic, but
I gotta look up that Bobby McRae story.
this podcast, this is off the rails. But serious note with Alvin Kamara, Dave, is I feel like the Saints are purposely ramping back his. If you want to be nerd and analytical about it, like his usage, like he's not quote unquote hurt because when they give him the ball, he still looks fine. But I really feel like they've, especially the last couple of weeks, like they're cutting back his usage a lot to rest that foot.
Who?
Alvin Kamara.
You do?
I do.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't really noticed that. I haven't looked at I would want to look at the game book and see the snap counts.
Dave.
Yes.
Did you watch Latavius Murray get a lot of handoffs and do really well in that game?
I just assumed that it was because Sean Payton finally came to his goddamn senses.
You know when he's getting those carries, you realize that that means they're not going to Kamara.
Well, I know, but I don't know if that's, that doesn't necessarily mean it's because of his foot. That just could be like, hey, we don't need to use Kamara in this game against the fifth string Wake Forest quarterback. And so let's use this time to give him a rest. And let's go to, let's give our buddy LaDavius, who has done nothing wrong this season and has only succeeded for us. Let's give him some opportunities today. That's what I would think of. I don't think he has anything.
Well, he's been limited in practice the last few weeks. With that foot thing.
I think
Dave is partially right. I think they're mitigating his usage, as you call it, Ralph. Specifically because they don't want to overwork him while he's banged up. Because I think when you're 9-2 and you know you're going to the playoffs, you want your best Alvin Kamara in the postseason, not against the Broncos when you're playing their fifth-string quarterback. So I do think Dave's right about that. I think the truth is probably a little bit somewhere in the middle. But when he did touch the ball, I just want to say I thought Kamara looked really explosive. So whatever his issue is, at least on the carries he had, it didn't seem like it was.
Yeah, that's why it doesn't make sense to me, because it didn't seem, when he did make his touches, get his touches, he looked fine. Nothing looked out of the ordinary at all. Just going back to the Bobby McCray thing, because it's just such a funny thing. McCray said that getting arrested for DWI was bogus, and he quote unquote was DWP. He was driving with pizza.
And, that's right.
He said he also said on Twitter that the arresting police officer was quote unquote a short guy with a Napoleon complex. And he said that his wife was feeding him pizza while he was driving, and that's why he was swerving erratically. So.
Have you ever got in an accident while eating while driving?
Yeah.
What's the craziest thing you tried to eat in your car?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever eaten anything more than normal fast food.
Dave's not a eat in the car kind of guy. He needs to savor every bite, every meal he has.
You want to be horrified? You want to be horrified about how dangerous this is? In college, I tried to eat a funnel cake while driving. Picture that. A guy with one arm trying to drive and eat a funnel cake.
I'm picturing a lot of powdered sugar all over your car.
Just powdered sugar and crippledness everywhere. You want to talk about bad decisions?
Morgan deserves a key to the city for pulling over and parking and sleeping in his car instead of driving, then you should be locked up for life for having one arm and still trying to eat funnel cake while driving a motor vehicle.
It's fair.
I mean,
completely fair.
I don't really have anything to say, but
God, I hate to hear that. I hate to hear that.
But now that we went through Saints Hall of DWIs, I mean, you know the Saints season is going splendidly when they win 31-3 and we're just like, let's talk Saints Hall of DWIs for 15 minutes.
Jingle balls to the walls, fellas. Listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. This revolutionary company, Manscaped, has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 3.0 has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer cuts on your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which makes the perfect gift this holiday season. It's literally everything you need to keep trimmed, cut free, and smelling nice down there. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you use on your balls. That's just nasty. The Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0 also includes the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And yes, your balls stink. Speaking of sweaty and stinky balls, I am thankful for their Crop Reviver. This product, along with the Crop Preserver, keeps your balls from sweating, smelling, and sticking. And these products smell good. Their manly scent is attractive and will help you set the mood, if you know what I mean. The perfect package will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxers that'll keep your junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those overused pair of boxers to Manscaped's high-performance anti-chafing boxers. Tis the season to Manscaped, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, and friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you.
Is this game, is there anything else to take from it? The only other question I have is, the only quarterback that me and Andrew could come up with that was as close to as bad as this guy for Denver was yesterday, Kevin, was when Sean Payton was the scab quarterback for the Bears, and he completed 3 passes against the Saints in 1987. I mean, I can't think of a worse quarterback the Saints have played in the last 20 years. Can any of you?
The thing I love is that's not hyperbole. Like, Sean Payton really is one of the worst quarterbacks the Saints have ever faced.
I mean, I'm trying to – like, Chris Redman was pretty bad, but not as bad as yesterday.
No.
They played Babe Laufenberg one time. He was pretty bad.
And then they signed him.
Yeah.
Babe Laufenberg was so bad against the Saints, they're like, we got to get
him. We got to keep him.
That's a star of the day over there.
Yeah.
What year did Peyton play? 86, 87? What year?
87.
87, yeah.
So Ralph was like, Ralph, you were like, what, 10?
11, yeah.
11.
Saints
I would love
won that game 19-17, by the way.
That whole game is on YouTube. You can watch it.
Yeah.
I would love to be there with 11-year-old Ralph.
It was at Soldier Field, Dave.
No. I would love to have been
I watched it today on YouTube.
No, but when you were 11. Watching that game, I'm sure you were watching that game live when you were 11 years old. I would have loved to have been there, and to just tell you, Ralph, you see this guy playing quarterback for the Bears? He's going to be the greatest fucking coach the Saints have ever had. And just to see your face, just look in your mind, just
but explore. First, yeah. But first, he's going to have to do drywall for 2 years.
Ralph, see, this guy right here playing terrible quarterback for the Bears, that guy's going to bring the Saints their first ever Super Bowl. Have fun with that, buddy.
Yeah, Dave, see, you want to go back and point that out to him. I want to go back in time and see what sort of abominable soft drink mix-up Ralph is drinking at 11.
Yeah.
I'm drinking Barks.
At 11, he's just going down the fucking row. At the fountain drink and just putting a little bit of everything in his fucking cup.
You know what I used to drink?
He's got Mr. Pibb mixed with what was that, RC Cola.
No, I drank something even more disgusting than all of that when I was 11. You know what I used to slam like 4 a day? Chocolate Soldiers.
Oh, yeah.
If you know, which is basically just chocolate syrup and water.
Isn't that what you're drinking right now?
No, it's honey bourbon and Coke. And it tastes better though because it's in the Crudités cup. Which, by the way, people have said that the commercial that
my wife
reads to advertise the Crudités cup, she sounds kind of disgusted when she says Taysom's name, and that's because it took her like 7 times to do it because the microphone wouldn't work, and she was about to. I think she was thinking of either divorcing me or punching me in the balls.
On brand.
So many times.
What was her microphone of choice from the graveyard?
I tried to do the Yeti. And of course, Andrew, I had it backwards again.
It's fantastic.
I'm so bad at this.
I think your instinct has to be to always put the Yeti backwards, because then you'll use it correctly.
Maybe.
Sometimes, Ralph, I think your handicap is more mental than it is physical.
It's totally mental. It's totally mental. I wonder on a daily basis, Dave, how I have managed to get as far in life as I have gotten. I live a charmed life because I don't have any skills at all. I mean, they put me on fucking TV, for Christ's sakes. Yes, it's 5:45 in the morning.
Sure, it's true.
But I was back with Leslie today. She treats me with the respect I don't deserve.
Wait, your wife or the channel flanker?
Both.
Yes.
So,
motherfucking Carlos Hyde, fucking getting touchdowns instead of Chris Carson, cocksucker.
How's that game going? Are the Seahawks
17-9?
No, they're not. It's actually close.
Oh, the Eagles have 9 points.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, it's coming
right,
back,
flag,
though,
so
Dave.
That touchdown doesn't
it's coming
count.
Back.
Yeah, good. Now, fucking give it to a real running back.
Are we? As you look around, I look at the NFL, and let's take a broad view for
Kevin's him. Losing it.
I look at the AFC, Andrew, and I see Kansas City. Their offense is just like a Death Star. It's ridiculous. And I see Pittsburgh, who me and Kevin both loathe. I think they're 10-0, but they might be a touch overrated. But I look at the NFC, and I got to say, I know we got 5 weeks left and anything can happen, but I look at the Saints, and the Saints are by far the best team in the NFC right now. I know Green Bay beat them, but Green Bay's run defense is garbage. Seattle's pass defense is garbage. I think the Saints are clearly the best team in the NFC on November 30th. Am I wrong?
Well, I think they have the best defense in the league, period. I mean, I know they do statistically, but beyond that, I mean, you just look at the way they're getting turnovers, the way they're stopping the run. They definitely have the best defense. I think the big question with are the Saints the best team in the NFC is just what offense you're going to get that day. And, you know, whether it's Drew or whether it's Taysom or even Jameis, I mean, any of them. And then it's just like, there's just been some inconsistencies around, like, Michael Thomas. What are you getting out of him? What are you getting out of Jared Cook? What are you getting out of the run game? You know, are the Saints running the ball effectively, or are they having to throw every play? So this offense has been a roller coaster all season. And yet, you know, we talk about that, and yet they put up 31 points. And I know Denver had a fifth-string quarterback, but that had really nothing to do with the Saints putting almost 250 yards.
They ran
on the
ball 44 times. It was a run the damn ball Saints Twitter. It was their wet dream yesterday.
But I think Sean Payton was like, look, it's going to take 10 points to win this game. So I don't care if we run the whole day. Just keep running, because that's all we need to do to win. And I think from a game planning standpoint, I think Sean Payton secretly loved this, because he showed nothing. He showed absolutely squat in that game. If you're trying to prepare against the Saints, you basically throw that tape out. There's no point in even watching it. And I think that's what Sean Payton loves the most about that game.
This game was like, oh, go ahead, Andrew.
But I still worry about the Packers, and I still worry about Seattle, because while I agree with you, Ralph, that they're not as complete as the Saints. In fact, I would argue the Rams, you know, I know they just lost to San Francisco, but I would say they're probably a more complete team than the Packers and the Seahawks.
The Rams have the defense to really stop the Saints. I think the Rams have they have Aaron Donald, and they have Ramsey, and those are two pieces that I think they run their defense around. I think they could give the Saints fits. The Saints offense fits.
I do think a Rams Saints game could be one of those ugly 20-17 kind of playoff games that would be really uncomfortable. But but when I look at you know, the two offenses in the NFC that are the closest to the Death Star Chiefs are Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. You know, the Seahawks and the Packers. And you know, if it's one of those games where they're just so hot that no matter how good your defense is, you just have no answer because Rodgers or Wilson are both just ridiculous sometimes. I worry that this offense has had a tendency all season to kind of go away for a quarter and a half. So, yes, The answer to your question is yes. I think the Saints are the best team in the NFC right now. But the inconsistency all year, the offense, and part of it has been the offensive line shuffle. It seems like every week a guy's going down somewhere and they're having to reshuffle. It's a lot of it's been Andres Pete, who's kind of been in and out. But
shocker.
Yeah.
Here's
But I think that's the thing. Like, I think if there's one thing I still want to see is you just hope the offense can put it all together as the season goes on.
Here's a question, Kevin, as Tampa sort of stumbles and bumbles and maybe falling apart. They play Atlanta twice more in the last 5 weeks. Do we want Atlanta? Do we root for Atlanta against Tampa? Or do we root for Tom Brady to humiliate the Falcons and make their season worse? Like, when the Falcons play the Bucks, do we want the Bucks to crash and burn, or do we want more Falcons humiliation?
I'm rooting for two ties. I'm rooting for two ties. That's it. I'm rooting for 7-7 ties. I want full games played, low scoring, boring football to be played, overtime ending in ties. That's what I want.
I want Tampa to be put out the playoffs. So I think I'll be rooting for Atlanta.
I think they're probably going to make the playoffs. But, yeah. Ralph, I think what you said earlier was absolutely right. I do think that the Saints probably have to run the table to be the top seed in the NFC.
Yeah.
They may be able to get away with one loss. So 13-3 might get it done, but there's a good chance they're going to have to win out to get that top seed.
If they go 13-3 and have to play fucking Tampa a third time, I will fucking be so mad.
Why? We know we can beat them.
I know, but that'll be the third fucking time that they've been 13-3 in the last decade and not got a bye. Like, that'll just be infuriating.
Infuriating.
Yeah. But yeah. Speaking of infuriating, we got to get to the hotline before we get to this week's game pick. And by the way, Andrew asked.
Kevin's leaving. Bye, Kev.
Bye, Kevin.
See you, Kev.
Andrew asked for the callers. We said last week the calls have been great. Andrew asked for insults to insult us. And by the way, the callers delivered. And oh, by the way, when you leave a message for the hotline, if you screw up and say, I'm going to call back, the right call isn't going to be in there. Your screw-up call, guaranteed, is going to be in the hotline. And we will show you this week.
Just so we're clear.
You only get one shot.
You only get one shot. You don't get a redo. So this week is the hotline. People started calling in. They had a call at 3:13 yesterday. People were calling into the hotline. The game kicked off at 3:05. So without further ado, here is the best from the Saints Happy Hour Hotline, Week 12. It's time for this week's hottest takes from the Saints Happy Hour Hotline.
I just want to conduct a search party for Sean Payton's balls because his ambush and flea flicker and challenge flag raining days are over, and he's now the guy who bent over for Goodell and doesn't trust his future Hall of Fame quarterback to get 8 yards with the game on the line.
As we've learned with anything in 2020, it's all just a bunch of horseshit.
So fuck it. That's it. That's the voicemail. That's it. Play me on the show. Or don't play me on the show. I don't give a fuck.
Hey guys, school. We haven't won in Denver since 94, but hell yeah. 8 straight fucking wins. You gotta love it. Guys, listen to the show. I can't remember if it was Dave or Juge that mentioned we don't make fun of you guys enough. So fuck it. Here it is. Fuck you, Ralph. Your audio is shit. Fuck you, Juge. You and your fucking player grades. Fuck you, Dave, and fuck Tulane. Fuck you, Geld, if you're listening. Put some Saints gear for the live show next time. Just pretend you're a fucking Saints fan. Oh, and fuck Chris and Phil Sims.
Hey, so I had to leave my son's birthday party to call the hotline. But
Phil
is suspect. He played a real defense and looked real suspect, like I thought he would against Atlanta. But
I honestly think that stick with them. If we lose against Atlanta, I really don't want that to happen, but I think that might happen. Let me start over.
On the bright side, the Saints are 9-2. On the downside, I feel like I just watched Juge beat some grandmas at tennis.
Well, that was something I'm willing to say. I mean, we got the win. It's just, you know, I'm taking the win. You know, the run game was great. Latavius was great. The defense was great. Just our next one, I guess.
Ralph, why do I have to hear your voice? Just let it ring. All right. So, Taysom looks like shit. Get him out of there. Latavius Murray, great. Awesome. Andrew, what the fuck were you drinking when you said Latavius Murray isn't a good running back? He's great. It's great. Get Taysom out of there. Taysom time is over. It's roasted. So bad. You let a no quarterback Denver Broncos team hang in there for a half. This is so bad. Come on, Saints.
So I've just watched Taysom run it in for the second time today, right before half. Who dat? Looks like it's going to be a win. But what I want to know is, how hard do you think Sean Payton was when he drew up the fake QB power, try to toss it to the fullback in the red zone play? I mean, he had to have been three-quarter chub, right?
Yeah, I just have one thought on this game so far. I just wish the Saints could catch a fucking ball on defense. I don't understand why they don't just do like some types of drills so they can fucking hold on to the ball. Bullshit. Fucked. Horse shit, too.
It's horse shit ball carrying, I know that. Horse shit.
It was pretty good hotline. I mean,
wait, two things. When did Andrew say that Latavius wasn't a good running back? Can we have that on tape?
We do. I mean, it was a daily show.
Oh man!
He said he didn't like the signing.
It was when we signed him as it was like a free agency recap, yeah. And I just
he said he ran too upright and couldn't catch the ball.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna have to dig deep into that. Second of all, it sounds like
it's true though. I did bash him.
I know. At the end of every season, we should put together a montage of each of us like in our hot takes that are like terrible, that age like milk.
Well, it shouldn't be hard. You should be able to do that every week on Ralph.
But second of all, it sounded like the audio quality on all of those calls was much better than it was previously. Ralph, did you like do something or figure something out?
I did. I knew it.
I fucking knew it.
I thought you were about to say that the audio on those sounds much better than our podcast.
It probably does. No,
but it sounds way better than the previous.
No, what I did was I boosted up the volume, and there's this thing in in Audacity where you can, like, if you can capture the sound in the background, you can strip it out, and I was able to do it.
So there you go. The volume.
The volume, yeah. And the thing is, I'm terrible with audio. If anybody knows like a class or a webinar that I could watch for like Audacity or Banana Meter, help me out. I'll send you a T-shirt. You can help us out.
Sure, there's.
We just need to be like 15% better, then we'd almost be professional quality.
5%. It's 5%.
Yeah, it's the 5%. The 5% rule. Quan Alexander.
The wait is finally over. Football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff early. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
The Saints are playing the Falcons at Atlanta.
Yeah, we haven't even said the words Falcon Hate Week.
It is.
Like, it's just, too soon. It's too soon.
I'm starting to feel bad. It's not even really a comp. It's not even.
I'm not like in the right frame of mind for Falcon Tape.
Well, here's
my beer, Nick? Where's Nick? Where's my beer, man?
We drank
where's
it all.
Where's my next batch? I know.
The,
I should have saved
the one batch. Yeah, the one batch was supposed to last 3 weeks before the two Falcons games.
Ah, yeah.
I have to say, the thing with the Falcons is the Saints kicked the shit out of them last week, right? And I was like, well, that's just because the Falcons are bad and they just had a nice little run and whatever. They're going back to their be terrible win 4 or 5 games. But, Andrew, they reverted back to the good team that they were playing like before the Saints kicked them in the balls. So that Saints-Falcon win, like, now after that, watching them just put the Raiders on the torture rack, it's more impressive to me what the Saints were able to do to them defensively, especially because the Raiders, they got worked by the Falcons. I know Carr was bad.
They didn't even have Julio Jones.
I know. I mean, I know Carr was bad, but still, I mean, they ran for like 150, and it was impressive. When you look at this game, give me your prediction and your start of the day. But besides that, they get Taysom for the second time in 3 weeks. What's going to be the plan that Atlanta's going to do? Are they going to try to do the same plan but better, or are they going to do something different?
Yeah, I got to say Atlanta's performance against the Raiders big time caught me by surprise. But that's kind of been their story all year. It's like right when you're ready to write them off, they play well, and then right when you're ready to say, maybe they're not so bad, they're back to being terrible. So, you know, Atlanta, I will say I expect a better shot from them this time around. I don't think it's going to be as easy as it was last time, and I do think they'll come up probably with a better plan to slow Taysom down. They tried to blitz him a lot, and I think the big surprise in that game was that he was getting the ball out quickly, finding the open man, and when he had man-to-man coverage, he did pretty well. And so I think Atlanta will see on film that he was a little bit more gun-shy, a little bit tougher to process the zones, that Denver likes to run a lot of zones. And so I think you'll see more zones. If Armstead's out, which it looks like he is, then I think Atlanta will feel like they can rush 4. And so that's another thing. They won't have to blitz as much. They can drop more guys in coverage. And that's when I think Taysom maybe struggles with his reads a little bit when you're in zone and there's extra guys in coverage. So I think Atlanta will play that way. And if they do, once again, it'll be a front that you can run on. So it'll be interesting to see if the Saints go back to running, pounding Latavius Murray. It could be another one of those games. But I think at least to start, Atlanta will like what they saw out of Denver, rushing 4, dropping in zone, and daring Taysom Hill to be in them that way.
What's going to be the score, though?
I still like the Saints to win. I just think their defense is so good right now, and if they don't have to cover Julio Jones, I mean, that's the big question. If Julio Jones is a huge player for them, obviously, and if he can't play, that makes life so much easier for the Saints in terms of stopping them. So, you know, he's going to be hampered even if he plays. His hamstring's not at 100%.
He shouldn't be playing.
We'll keep an eye on Janoris
full
Jenkins.
Tank
Janoris
mode.
Jenkins did a tremendous job against Calvin Ridley. So if Jenkins is out, then that makes life more complicated for the Saints too. I don't think this is going to be an easy one. I think the Saints win 27-24.
Oh.
I'm going to go with Michael Thomas as my player of the game.
Ooh. Dave, who you got, and who's going
to
be your?
They want to bring him to camp. He looks like a star of the day for the Saints.
Well, you know, Juge covered a lot of ground there. Can't say I disagree with any of it. The Falcons, you know, they scare me. You know, they beat us last year, even though we were obviously the better team. They beat us once last year. It's funny that ever since they fired their defensive guru head coach, their defense has improved drastically. Go
top
figure.
Top 5 by
shocker
the stat
there.
Nerds.
Yeah, shocker
the last
there.
5 weeks, seriously.
Dan Quinn may never get a job in the NFL ever again. You know, I think Atlanta's playing better football. They looked good this week against the Raiders, who are supposed to be pretty good. You know, obviously there's a little more film now on Taysom. And, you know, I think the Falcons kind of have a better idea of what to expect. But, you know, Peyton's the better coach. I've been very happy with Peyton this season for the most part, and he's always seemed to have the right game plan for each opponent each week. So, you know, this is one of those games where my head is telling me, I don't know, the Falcons, like, this is one of those games the Saints like to lose. But, you know, I'm a diehard Saints fan, and my heart tells me, dude, fuck it. Our defense is amazing, and we're going to steamroll these motherfuckers. And I'm going to listen to my heart. So I'm going to say Saints. I'm going to say Saints 27 and Falcons. I'll give them 10. And I'm sticking with it. We're going to have – I don't even know who's left to return punts and kicks. But whoever it is, they're going to run one back
for a touchdown.
One quick point. I believe the Falcons are up 2. In the series head-to-head all time. So this is kind of a big one to win, because if the Saints can – and the Saints have never led this series. But if they can win this game, then those Saints will only be one back and could take over for the first time ever in their history next year with the sweep. So this is a big one to win.
I disagree with you, Juge. I think Atlanta is going to say, you know what, we ain't playing no – zone against Taysom. We are going to blitz that motherfucker, and we're going to make him make throws, and they're going to forget that their secondary is 31st in the league, and Taysom is going to roast those sons of bitches, and he's going to have 3 touchdown passes, and he's going to run for 2 more. Saints 42, Falcons 17. It is going to be it is going to be a total destruction. Taysom is going to look so good, Mickey Loomis might sign him to an extension in the locker room after the game. That's how good he's going to fucking look. Like, I think Taysom is just going to be, these 4 weeks are going to be up and down, up and down. Like, that's just what Taysom's going to be for these 4 weeks.
We've got a guy in the chat, F. He says, how do I get my wife to stop looking at shirtless pictures of Taysom Hill? Clearly he's married to Mike Westhoff.
Don't make me beg now.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery. To watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire?
you need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Oh wait, we didn't do the questions, Ralph.
Oh my God, we
come on, man.
I
didn't even get the Ralph shuffle.
Wow.
All right, so let's get to the questions. We poor job by the host tonight.
Watching you guys dance just makes it even more disappointing that we didn't get to go to a wedding in Vegas together.
I know. God. all right, this is from Hoot at Ralph. What's the chance we see Breeze back before the playoffs? Do we really even want to, especially if the one seed is either lost by then or we're going to be byless? Might it be better to have a healthier Breeze for the playoffs? A re-injury could be a quick return to the end.
I think you gotta play. He's gotta play. Like you gotta have him play a little bit, right? You want him to play a couple of weeks. Maybe if it's even not like a full game or whatever. You can't have Breeze miss the last 7 weeks and then drop him in a playoff game, can you? That doesn't seem wise.
No, I think he comes back sooner. Dave, are you about to say something?
I just wonder what the Saints are going to look like when Breeze comes back. I see them doing like a 50-50 split with like Breeze and Taysom when Breeze comes back. Like
that'd be interesting.
I see Breeze's time being, you know, limited even more than it was, and you know, after 4 games of Taysom starting at quarterback and gaining confidence, I see them maybe using him even more than they were before when Drew was healthy. I don't know.
I'm sure that will go over really well.
I don't think 50-50 split, but I definitely think...
Yeah, maybe not 50-50, but I see Taysom getting mixed in a lot more even when Drew comes back now.
All right, I'll answer this one. This is from B. Jones. Are we in official worry mode about Ruiz being a bust, or is the season totally irrelevant for evaluating a rookie? I don't think it's irrelevant, and I would say that while I'm not by any means ready to call him a bust, and I do think the deck was stacked against him this year, what you want to see with a rookie, especially a guy playing as much as him, is getting better every week, not making the same mistakes, you know, seeing progress. And we're not really seeing that. He is making a lot of the same mistakes. His issues are not physical for the most part. He's not getting run over. He's not getting trucked. So it's not a physical thing. It's not that he's not getting to his spots when he's pulling. It's really more he's getting crossed up by stunts.
His pass-offs
are not good. So it's more processing stuff.
I'll tell you one thing. Ruiz might be not playing great. Troutman looks goddamn amazing. Like, if that dude is going to block like that in the run game, Andrew, the grades you gave him, by the way, become a patron, you get access to Andrew's grades. If Troutman is going to block like that, all he needs to be is slightly above average, and they didn't give up enough picks for that dude.
All right, Dave, Saints Rabbit wants to know, did Sean Payton throw out the playbook and intentionally make this game tape useless for the remaining opponents?
In a way, yes. We touched on it earlier. I touched on it earlier. Again, I think they completely changed the game plan once they knew what the situation was with Denver's quarterbacks. And it's funny that B. Jones asked this because he had the same opinion that I did when we saw Marquez Callaway call a fair catch on one of those punt returns when there wasn't even a defender, you know, within 10, 15 yards of him. I felt the same exact thing that B. Jones did, which was that Peyton and the coaching staff has obviously told all of these guys, we just need to play conservative, we just need to be safe, we just need to protect the football, and this game will come to us, and we will easily win this game as long as we don't give it away, as long as we don't make mistakes, as long as we don't shoot ourselves in the foot. I meant to say this at the top of the show, and we were just talking about the game in general, but I thought this game was like, you know, every year people always say, people always want the best college team like Alabama to play like the shittiest NFL team like the Jets. And, you know, people always say, you think Alabama could beat the Jets? I think this is what it would look like. I think this is what you would get when you had a college team, a.k.a. the Denver Broncos, playing against even the shittiest, which obviously isn't the Saints, but even the shittiest NFL team. I think it would look a lot like this game that we saw today. That's what was going through my mind watching this game yesterday.
All right, Ralph, this one's for you from the Wicker Man. He wants to know, any chance we get a Jameis to Taysom TD pass this year, especially with us playing Atlanta and Philly next, two teams Sean historically likes to mess with?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say if it's going to come, it would be Philadelphia, because they have a little bit of history, and now the Saints have Malcolm Jenkins. They might want to rub it in Philadelphia's a little bit. I would say it's more likely against Philly, or I'll throw out a wild card. If the Saints, when they play Kansas City, because Kansas City is so great on offense, I think Peyton might go deep, deep, deep in the bag of tricks to keep up with the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's true. All right, we got a few more here.
I got a couple.
Fire these.
I got a couple.
Okay.
From Riker, he asks, why did CBS show a rerun of the 1982 Nebraska-Colorado game late Sunday afternoon?
I was going to say, it felt a little bit like Alabama playing Navy or Air Force.
It did. It definitely had a 1974 SEC football feel to it.
And it's funny that Jude says that, because that's exactly what the Part in My Take guys said. They said this is like watching Army versus Navy. This is that's what the game would look like.
Well, like Alabama versus Navy. But
here's
yeah.
a good here's a good. Well,
question. No, because like Army runs the triple option and they do a lot of direct snaps and they pass the ball
right.
like four or five times a game.
Right, right.
and here's a good question.
Yes.
This is from the Todd, Dave. What on earth could possibly happen to top what Shy Tuttle did in Atlanta last year? Matt Ryan shitting himself again after his 10th sack?
This is from the Todd. The Todd?
Yeah.
The Todd Berg?
Yeah.
What could top Shy Tuttle? Man, I go immediately to like Michael Thomas punching somebody in the face. Maybe that would be really awesome.
Yeah, but we'd have to get a good German tackling.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe a Maltese cackling.
What would that sound like? I don't even
I don't know.
I mean,
maybe like that laugh you just did, Dave. all right, this one I love. We should go around the horn on this maybe. If the entire Saints QB room has COVID, much like the – this is from your boy Allen. If the entire Saints QB room has COVID, like what just happened to the Broncos, what former Saints QB do you want for the one game?
A-Bear's out because he is drunk.
I think you got to think of it like it's a loss game. If you lose all your quarterbacks, like you're toast, right? It's clear. It's like what happened to Denver. You have no hope. So I think you got to go the comedy route. And to me, probably the funniest would be Garrett Grayson. Because then
God.
We get like a redemption Jesus. Story of like, maybe Sean Payton was right after all. You know, if he throws a touchdown pass or something like that. So
no.
I would go with Grayson.
No, dude. The correct
now, wait,
answer
we,
is Adrian McPherson.
I was thinking of him, actually. I'm thinking of him pre getting hit by the cart, though, not post.
Yeah,
pre.
But I have a lot of questions about this question. I mean, do we you know, if we say Archie Manning, like, is it Archie Manning now? Are we talking about a 70-year-old man?
I think we're talking about now, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
We're talking about now.
You gotta start Archie Manning now.
No, I, you know, maybe Aaron Brooks. I don't know.
You want to bring Brooksy back?
Todd Bowman.
That'd be fun. Yeah, if you're looking for comedy, maybe he can throw it backwards for old time's sake.
Bring McCown, the McCown brothers. You could bring the Luke McCown. Bring him back.
Yeah.
Your best. Wasn't he on call? He was like not really on a roster. He
That's
was
his
just
brother,
like
Josh. Yeah,
they were going back to Hall of Fame DUIs by the Saints. The whoever was the mascot that was driving the go kart that hit McPherson's got to be up there.
They ever do a breathalyzer on that?
Yeah. Let's see. Should Peyton start Jameis on Sunday just to fuck with the Falcons in the national media?
Ooh, yes. That would be
the answer.
Absolutely.
Chef's kiss. I mean, if they start Jameis against Atlanta, we will do a breaking news podcast during the game. That's how amazing that would be. But I think they're not doing that. They're rolling with Taysom this stretch before Drew Brees gets back. I mean, the only way they're benching Taysom is if he is completely inept and or has a turnover binge that is just horrifying. That's the only way he's getting benched, right, Dave?
I think they're fully embedded with Taysom, and yeah, this is at this point, Jameis playing is out of the question.
Sure. All right, I got two questions left, and they're both quarterback questions. I'll throw this one to you first, Dave. So, say the Saints can't find a trade partner and they don't get, you know, Lawrence, Lance, Fields, or Wilson, any of the top quarterbacks in this draft. Would you feel okay with them going after either Kyle Trask from Florida or Mac Jones from Bama?
I don't.
Which are kind of, those are your two Heisman frontrunners right now.
I'm gonna quote Sean Payton and say, you know, we think the next man up is in the building.
All right. I agree with that. And then I like this question from Jay Champagne, Jason. He wants to know, if the Lions blow it up, Ralph, would you give a first for Matt Stafford?
No, because the Lions, if they blow it up, like their cap situation, I don't think you'd have to give a first for Matt Stafford. And it would take a lot of cap shenanigans and magic from Loomis, but I would love Matt Stafford. I think Detroit is a proven dumpster fire of an organization, and the only time he had a competent coach, Jim Caldwell, they won, they had three straight winning seasons, and the Lions being the Lions, they ran him out of town. I don't think Matt Stafford is great, but Sean Payton could make him a top 10 quarterback, and the Saints could continue to win and be fun and entertaining with him. But the thing is with Matt Stafford is I don't want to pay him $25 million. Like, I don't want to pay Matt Stafford $25 million to be the 10th best quarterback in the NFL. Like, I'll pay him $15 million to be that. But, like, if he wants $25 million, I'm going to look somewhere else. But if the Saints could get him at a reasonable price – I like Matt Stafford. I know I'm in the minority. You disagree with me, Andrew, but I like Stafford. I think the Lions' suckness brings him down.
What about – I'm not saying he's available. I don't know what his contract situation is. What about, like, Jimmy Garoppolo?
Oh, my God.
No way.
I think the most fun Saints scenario at quarterback is the Saints win the Super Bowl – Tampa completely implodes and they fire Arians and they get rid of Tom and the Saints get Brady for 2021.
I think that's
the most fun scenario.
I'm
like,
not
but
feeling
that,
that
that's,
either.
That's I don't have a
I'd
problem.
Rather, I'd rather just keep hating Brady.
I that's but that's just like a 1 year deal. Like I'm
yeah, but it'd be fun.
When we move on to the next thing, like I'd like to attempt to move on with somebody who's going to stick around for at least 5 years. Like, I don't want another one-year hit wonder, you know, with Brady. Well, maybe I do. I don't know.
I just want the Saints to be on First Take every day. That's what I want for ESPN. That's what I want. That's all I want.
I'll tell you this. They're not going to be taking away draft picks or fining us $500,000 if Tom Brady's our fucking quarterback.
They're not. You got that right.
Unless he deflates footballs.
So I forgot completely as we wrap up. I forgot to plug again. Dave has set up a Saints Happy Hour store where you can buy all kinds of cool merchandise. It's amazing. And patrons, you'll be getting an email where you'll have a special discount code and you'll get a nice little discount for being a patron.
Well, what's the code? Yes, the discount Saints. Code is Nugent.
No, we can't. We can't give
out the code because it's for patrons only, Andrew.
Yeah, sorry.
And oh, by the way, Dave's wearing he's got hats, he's got all kinds of cool stuff. It's amazing. Saints, you should check it out. If you want to buy more
Saints
merch.
Meanwhile, Ralph hasn't even given the website. SaintsHappyHourShop.com. And honestly, if you're listening to this right now live at 10:20 on Cyber Monday, you have an hour and a half to get whatever you want, 25% off for Cyber Monday if you use code CM25. Cyber Monday 25, CM25.
I'm on there right now, and I mean there is
SaintsHappyHourShop.com.
We've got hats, we've got hoodies, long sleeve t-shirts, short sleeve t-shirts.
We've got
collared shirts.
Yeah.
Performance t-shirts. We got the cool V-neck women's shirts.
Stickers, magnets.
Stickers.
Do you have a worry about your meat bib?
Stuff. I could do that. Yeah, we need to do
I think I'm going to binge on some swag right now. I'm just going to buy like 10 things.
So now this is the new outro music that they want me to play. So here it is. I can't dance that good because my neck's still
Maltese.
Wrecked.
It's the Maltese dance music.
Hey, what are we in Malta? Ralph, Malta. I'll take
Malta. Quick. You break my heart. We're 19 in Malta. That is unacceptable.
Wow, still dropping.
Unacceptable, Malta.
I don't think they like us talking about them. We should just not talk about them, and maybe they'll come back.
We're not talking about you, Malta, till you get us in the top five again. So, for Kevin, who had to eject early, for Andrew, for Dave, I'm Ralph. Until next time, the bar is closed.
Who dat?